The Freeride World Tour arrives in town for its third Haynes competition, and the Skagway Assembly will consider putting a 1% sales tax increase on the election ballot. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Dozens of the world's most talented big mountain skiers and snowboarders arrive in Haynes this week for the Freeride World Tour. It will be the Extreme Winter Sports Competition's third Alaska experience. A video on the Freeride's website calls Haynes the dream stop.
And of course, everyone wants to go to Haynes.
Tom Winter is the Freeride's North America spokesperson. Haynes is different than the other Freeride stops in France, Andorra, Austria, and Switzerland. It's more remote, there's no ski resort, and the mountains, according to the athletes, are incomparable. Here's Italian skier Arianna Tricomi after the 2016 competition.
The way the mountains are, it's different. They're big, they're powerful, and just be in this place, it's just far away and in the middle of nature, so it's been a powerful competition.
Tricomi is one of 28 athletes who, after three competitions over the past couple months, made the cut for Haynes this year. The pool was narrowed from 52 to 28. It includes 12 male skiers, 6 female skiers, 6 male snowboarders, and 4 female snowboarders.
Haynes is an exclusive event, and so it should be limited, and only the very best should be able to qualify to go to Haynes.
Again, Tom Winter. The Freeride reduced the number of athletes and support staff it's bringing to Alaska this year. Winter says it's partly because the Freeride wants to set the bar even higher for athletes to make it to the finals, but it's also because of money. Haynes is the most costly competition.
Haynes is the most expensive tour stop, given the logistics and the helicopters and everything else that goes into it.
In Haynes, athletes and equipment need to be helicoptered to the mountain peak. The remoteness adds to Haynes' appeal, but also the expense. The plan this year is to have the competition on the same mountain face as the previous 2 years. The location is dubbed the Venue. It's near Little Jarvis Glacier, about 35 miles up the Haynes Highway. Haynes Tourism Director Leslie Ross works closely with the Freeride organizers.
That particular venue seems to work well for them, and I think it's easier than trying to move everything to a new location.
The Freeride's permit with the borough provides a week-long window to hold the competition from March 18th to 25th. In 2015, the window had to be extended because of less than favorable weather conditions. There was a challenge of a different sort during last year's competition. The Freeride broadcasts its events live on the internet for its global fan base. In 2016, satellite issues prevented the Haynes event from live streaming.
It was a big downer for not only for Haynes, but for they're known for their live broadcasts. So people all over the world were trying to watch it and couldn't.
Winter says the technical team has a plan B and plan C to prevent that kind of problem from happening again. Locals will have a chance to meet athletes during a welcoming reception at the Sheldon Museum Thursday from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Then the athletes will keep a close eye on the forecast and hope for ideal conditions to carve out the perfect run in the mountains of Haynes. With the Borough Assembly's support, Skagway residents may vote this fall on a 1% sales tax increase. The tax hike would be used to fund a recreation center expansion, including an aquatic wellness center. Increasing sales tax as a mechanism to fund the rec center expansion came up last year, but the idea failed to gain traction because the assembly was divided on whether the revenue should go to just the rec center or to major projects generally. Since then, committees working on plans for the rec center and pool have whittled down the design and cost estimate by a couple million dollars. The projected cost is still expensive, about $17 million. At recent meetings, some assembly members have balked at the price tag, but they've also voiced support for letting the voters decide. At a meeting this week, the Assembly may decide to introduce the ordinance, which would move it to a public hearing. If it passes, the bond question amending the sales tax would go on the October 3rd municipal election ballot. In the 2016 election, Skagway residents narrowly approved a $6 million bond for a senior center and housing facility. That bond may be repaid through property tax increases. This week's Assembly meeting is set for Thursday at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. Controversy from a recent Haines Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee meeting carried into the committee's most recent gathering as well. But this time, the topic of debate was whether Haines should pursue a bicycle-friendly community designation. Several residents, including Don Turner Jr., spoke out against Parks Committee member Tom Ely taking part in the biking discussion.
I think Tom's got a real conflict of interest in this because he has a bicycle shop.
Turner said Ely might financially benefit from the bike-friendly designation. Ely owns Sockeye Cycle, a bicycle tour business in Haines and Skagway. But the Parks and Rec Committee members pushed back. Chair Rich Chapel pointed out that it's an advisory group. He compared the situation to the Port and Harbor Advisory Committee, which has boat owners, and the Tourism Advisory Board, which has tourism entrepreneurs. Ultimately, Ely voluntarily recused himself for the sake of the discussion going forward. But the disagreement didn't end there.
So what's happening is you're promoting one user group above other user groups, and I believe that's causing you're disenfranchising other user groups.
That's Brenda Josephson. Audience members also raised concerns about how much the bike-friendly designation would cost the borough in terms of new infrastructure and staff time. Sockeye Cycle General Manager Dustin Craney tried to address some of those questions in his presentation to the committee.
The purpose is to find a way to increase local cycling while decreasing any conflicts with other user groups. There's certainly no prioritization of bicycling over other user groups. I think that if bicycling was promoted above other user groups, that would be a failure on the part of bicycle friendliness.
Craney said Sitka, Juneau, and Anchorage all have bicycle-friendly designations. He said municipalities submit applications to the League of American Bicyclists, which determines whether the community qualifies as bicycle-friendly and gives feedback for improvements.
I think with our limited but amazing road resources here, it's a great place to ride bikes. I'd love to see more people riding bikes here, and I'd love to see anybody that has a negative view of bicyclists be involved in the conversation and find out ways to decrease that negative view and kind of use the roads together and all kind of enjoy the area that we live.
Craney offered to fill out the bike-friendly application himself so that it wouldn't cost the borough in staff time. The Parks and Rec Committee voted to ask representatives in Sitka for a presentation on their experience becoming a bike-friendly community. The next committee meeting is April 3rd. At that meeting, the committee will have new member Dave Long at the table. Chapel said he was happy to see Long apply for the seat.
I think Dave would bring represent a new user group that we don't hear from enough on this committee.
Long was one of about 150 people who showed up to a Parks and Rec Committee meeting in February to oppose creation of a winter recreation map. Many of them worried the map would restrict motorized uses like snow machining. But the committee members said they were never planning on limiting motorized use. That meeting brought a new level of scrutiny to the Parks and Rec Committee. Before, its meetings usually drew just a couple audience members. But at the most recent meeting, there were more than a dozen people in attendance, many to speak out against the bike-friendly initiative. The state ferry Taku is for sale. The minimum price for the 54-year-old ship is $1.5 million. Alaska Marine Highway officials announced the invitation to bid Saturday. The deadline for proposals is May 9th. The Taku is tied up at Ketchikan's Ward Cove. It was taken out of service in June of 2015 due to budget cuts and other factors. Ferry Chief Mike Newsell says it doesn't meet the department's needs anymore.
With the state's budget crisis and budget challenges that we have and the Marine Highway has, it's not possible to run an 11-ship fleet. We just don't have the maintenance funding and the operational funds to do that.
He says about a dozen people or organizations expressed interest in buying the Taku before it went out to bid. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.